and your mercy toward us. We offer praise. Amen. We can just give God a hand clap of praise in this place for his goodness and his mercy toward us. Lord, no, we couldn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. But he commended that love. Amen. Even when we messed up, we see in Genesis, amen, they messed up over and over again. But as we repent, he will never turn his back on us. Amen. Bible says in Romans and in Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and have heavy laden." I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Find meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest. Somebody say rest. That rest ain't just sleep, but it's a rest from the toil. Rest from the grief. Rest from the pain. And it's his love. It's his love that meets you in that place. Amen. In the bullseye of the heart. A place where nobody else knows about. The love of God will meet you there. Free you. And deliver you. And set you free. There's nothing you can go through in this world, in heaven or under heaven, or under the earth, that Christ, his love, can't meet you in a place of your heart. Not only will he meet you there, that's what we're going to talk about, but he'll deliver you from the bondage and the hurt and the things and the shame and all that you can go through in this life. And while he's meeting you there, guess what? He'll correct you. He'll correct you. And we say, who is like unto God? What is man? Who are we that you will be mindful of us? Y'all, we were not good enough. We were not capable. We were not able to receive his love. But he sent his love upon us. He placed his love on us. Even when we were turned out the way, all we like sheep who are turned astray, going your own way. And God has laid upon his son the iniquity of us all, that he might bring us in to the fellowship between the Father and the Son. Amen. And for that, guess what? Let's give God a hand clap of praise in this place. Amen. 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 We will reference at some point, we will reference the book of Genesis, but we're going to turn back to Hebrews. Chapter 12. We're going to finish what we started last week. Amen. And we're going to work backwards. We're going to work back toward the cross, back toward Jesus Christ. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12. And there will be a brief meeting immediately following the church. This service with the church office. Brief meeting. Amen. And it says, Hebrews chapter 12 says this. Wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. And that mind means soul as well, souls. That you have not resisted, that you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as the children. My son, despise not thou chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And it says, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastiseth not? And then we can go on down to verse 11. Now no chastisement seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth forth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto him which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight the path for your feet, which is lame. Be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Somebody say healed. Follow peace with all men, holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fall of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Amen. We're going to stop right there, but the focal verse we have is verses 2 and verses 3. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners. Amen. And just real quick, we're going to have the title that we're going to give is Looking Unto Jesus. Amen. Looking Unto Jesus and the Power of Spiritual Healing. Amen. Looking Unto Jesus and the Power of Spiritual Healing. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and eternal Father God, we thank you and we bless and we praise your name to know that you alone are worthy of all the glory, of all the honor, and of all the praise. The very breath in our bodies belong to you. So God, we exalt you, we bless, and we praise you to know, oh God, that Lord, you are omnipotent, you are omniscient. Oh God, you know all and you see all. Father God, we pray that you set the very atmosphere in this place that is conducive to your word, to the pinpointing even of the things in our hearts that we've carried, that we've labored with, that we toiled with. God, that we won't leave this place the same, that we won't leave this place with the burden and the baggage of life itself. But God, we can commit and submit and surrender these things in our hearts unto you, that you may come in and liberate our souls. Oh God, that we can walk in the freedom and the joy and the manifest power that you have on our lives. To know that it's not by our power. We can't do it. It's not by our puny might, but by your spirit. Help that our lives be a living demonstration, a living witness, that people should not have to guess who we are, that people should not have to guess that we have Christ, but they will see it, oh God, even in our person. to know, oh God, that they've been with Jesus. So God, we love you, oh God, and we bless you, oh God. Just continue to handle me, expose me to myself, crucify my flesh. God, that I won't preach, but that your spirit, your word will speak through me. All these blessings we ask in Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray. Let everybody say amen. 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 Just thank God for this text. Amen. And y'all be praying. Amen. And I just thank God for his word is truth. His word is life. His word is healing even for our souls. That's the real healing. Amen. You used to hear Reverend Ballard say, Dr. Jesus. Y'all remember that? Dr. Jesus, he is my friend. Amen. And then you hear Mother Newman talk about Dr. Jesus. He writes out all my medicine. He gives me all of my prescriptions in the room. And ain't that the truth? When you really look at this word, and this word is able to search us out and find the things in us, amen, that shouldn't be there, and is able to bring healing to our souls. Amen. And you wonder why so many people, even good people, even Christians and people that profess to know Christ and profess to know the Lord, the reason why, you know, there is no manifest power or there's no real genuine witness is because of impediments and things in our hearts and in our souls. Amen. And that's why here it says in our text that we're on this journey and that we're on this Christian race, right? And we know the race is not given to the swift nor to the strong, but to him that what? Endures to the end. And the reason why so many people fail the grace of God and the power of God is not there is because of impediments and things in their hearts. And that's why it says here, wherefore seeing also we have compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight
and what?
And sin that so easily besets us, and let us run the race with patience that is set before us. And so these things easily beset us. And some of these sins, and I was reading and just praying and meditating, and we can look at these sins as well. I stopped drinking. I stopped gambling. I stopped doing this. But there are sins that are deeper than just a physical act. But there are also sins that we can have in our hearts. There are also burdens and unforgiveness. Amen. That we can have in our hearts. There are things that we can have in our hearts. And even those things can burden us down and weigh us down, that we get knocked off or thrown off course. Amen. And I thank God. Amen. This chapter is coming out of the faith heroes, where we see we have such great a cloud of witnesses in the grandstands of heaven cheering us on. Amen. And we thank God for the faith heroes. And I'm telling you, thank God for this book of Genesis. And we see here, this Hebrews chapter 11 is like an encyclopedia. It's like a faith encyclopedia. Amen. Just pointing out the faith of Abraham and Noah and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and Rahab and so many that we read about. That they and listen, and you notice that chapter 11 don't talk about their perfection. Amen. It don't talk about especially different ones that sinned and messed up, like Jacob and Rahab and different ones. It don't point out their imperfections, but it points to the perfect one that was in them, Jesus Christ. Amen. The foreshadowing that was even in the book of Genesis. Hallelujah. That pointed to the coming of Christ. They looked to the coming of Christ. Abraham, he looked to the coming of Christ. Even when he offered up Isaac, that was about the coming of Christ. And it's not like Abraham didn't know. He knew. He knew spiritually. He knew in his heart that one day God would send the ultimate lamb, The ultimate sacrifice, Jesus Christ. And that's why we can look here, we can look here in 11 verse 13, right? It said, verse 12 says, therefore spring there even of one, and him as good as dead. They died. So many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the sea on the shore innumerable. And all these died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. So although they didn't see Christ physically, although they didn't see the promise physically, they received the promise by faith. Amen. That God was going to do what he said he was going to do. That God would never leave them or forsake them. But more importantly, all these roles pointed to the seed. Not many, but one seed. Jesus Christ. All roles pointed to the cross. The foreshadowing. The payment. The layment plan. Amen. Listen, they didn't have nothing to bring. Amen. But even those that were in the bosom of Abraham, that Christ, the faith, the promise, the seed that they could hold on to know it was all about Jesus Christ and his coming. And that's why, listen, I thank God for our preachers and Reverend Williams and Minister Tober and Evangelist Claudia. I thank God. Because man, we've got to be broken, and even I have to be reminded. That, because we can get off, right? We can get off and start looking at everything else and trying to debate and what happened here and what happened here. And guess what? We'll miss Jesus. We'll miss Jesus Christ. We'll miss the ultimate Lamb of God, the one who was slain, the one who was wounded, the one who paid the payment of our sins. We'll miss Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's why I say, listen, and we can write this down as a point. All roads lead to the cross. Amen. All roads in the Bible lead to the cross. Even in heaven. Even the book. Amen. That will no one found worthy to open up the book and loose the seals. It was because of his obedience to the cross that he was qualified to be the ultimate savior of the world. Amen. And so when we see here this chapter 11, right? And we see how those that were in Hebrews chapter 11 and the context of the people that the writer of Hebrews was writing to, those that were suffering, those that were going through, those that were beat down, those that would seem like they couldn't get ahead. Man, and you look at the price of a house right now. I'm like, man, I'm looking at the price of these houses, right? And some of these houses look like shacks. And they're like $400,000, right? And it's almost like, and thank God we had the BCOC here a couple weeks ago. It's almost like they want you to go backwards so you can get ahead. Well, you make too much, so you can't get aid, or you can't get this, or you can't get that. And that's the design of this world, the gerbil wheel of life. To think that we got to keep running on this gerbil of life and try to come up with a scheme. Well, you got to stay at the home. You can't live with me, husband or boyfriend. And you shouldn't be shacking anyway. Amen. But it's almost like, amen, this world is designed to keep us down. Amen. But we've got to know it's Christ in us who is our very life. And he's the one that we don't have to operate like the world to get ahead. But we can rest in Christ. Put him first. And everything else will be all right. Amen. And so when we see here who the people are that this writer is writing to, beat down, going through obstacles,
physically. And I can't help but in my mind, in my flesh, you think physically what they were going through. The persecution that they were going through. And all this stuff that they were going through. And I'm going to tell you right now, physical is just a, it's so small in the light of, in the contrast of spiritually what these people were going through. Amen. And that's why we often say, and people come to meetings and come to different things, and they talk about what they need physically. What we need physically. I need a job, or I need this, or we need food. Don't get me wrong. It all has its place. But you, when you look at the real need in Philadelphia, when you look at the real need in Bristol, the real need in life, man, the real need is not physical. Man, the real need is spiritual. And when you look at this text, verse chapter 12, amen, we see how Christ is able to meet my, I'm telling you, he's able to meet my spiritual need. Guess what? And when he's able to meet my spiritual need, guess what, y'all? All the physical stuff will fall in line. Amen. Boy, I used to hear, you know, listen, I'm about to go get into it, because they said, you act like you from Dillon. That's what they tell me. South Carolina. I was born in Bristol, amen, but my family, amen, we know a little something. They know a little something, right, Deacon Wright? About, amen, Brother Leo and different brothers in the church said that, that man, when it got cold, they can look through the bottom of the floor and see the chickens running under the house. And different things that they would, when they would go through, they had their work shoes and their church shoes. And your mama better not catch you, amen, in your church shoes, amen, after church. You only had two pair of shoes. Amen. And all the things that we've been through, even black history, and what we've been through is a plight, and we still got our hands out looking for 40 acres and a mule. Listen, y'all, it's not about what we go through physically. But it's the spiritual bondage that we have, that Christ has delivered us from. Jesus said, in Isaiah 61, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach. Amen. He's anointed me to preach what? Good tidings to the meek. The opening up of the prison to them that are bound. Then he goes on to get beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. He didn't say, I have the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me for you to get your Rolls Royce, for me to get your Cadillac, for you to get all these other things. Amen. And we equate freedom to what we have. Amen. Don't get me wrong. Listen, I'm not saying you can't have nothing. That's what I'm not saying. But guess what? You talk to these people on Wall Street and Hollywood, they have everything. Amen. And you see how sad and spiritually they're bound. But when I think about the goodness of Jesus and the fact that a holy God would liberate me, come and set me free from the inside out. That's why they were happier in the South. What? My father used to say they used to have cornfields. Now they got corners. So really, have we changed? Have we come that far, all that? Amen. But you better know you have Jesus Christ. You better know you've got him. You better know that you're wrapped up, that you're tangled up with this love of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm telling you, and when you look at this book of Genesis, it's crazy how relevant and real that this Genesis is to where we are now. Amen. I don't know how many thousands of years ago, 2,000 maybe. The book of Genesis, how old is it? But when you look at the families and the homes, you see what you see, how relevant, how living this word of God is. And we can trace back to the towns that they went through, and Paul went here first and here first, and we can, those towns are still there. Even some of the artifacts and the wells and different things that they set up in the Old Testament are still there. But God, the Bible says, blessed are they that do not see, but what? Still believe. We got to know that this is the living, breathing word of God. Jesus said, I come in the volume of the book, and it is written of me to do thy will. Amen. And we're living in a world which we live in. We're confronted with the same kind of problems. Amen. We're confronted with the same kind of homes that we all come out of. There ain't no such thing as a perfect home. Amen. And nobody can say, well, listen, I have my mother and my father, so I'm just all that. No, that you, God need to break that pride in your heart. Amen. Because a person that comes out of a great home, right, needs just as much grace as the one who comes down into a broken down home. Amen. The same grace that it takes to save the one strung out on crack cocaine is the same grace that it takes to save the one who's been to college and educated and all this stuff and thinks that they're all that, because God has to break that pride. And if you did have a great mother and a great father and you came out of a decent home, a God-fearing mother and a God-fearing father, you need to say, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. And guess what? And just because a child comes out of a great home, that don't mean they're going to be great. Some kids come out of a great home, but they still a mess. Some kids come out of a broken home. But guess what? God is able to strengthen them and meet them. Amen. Amen. Look at Dr. Charles Stanley and so many more I can name, and how God's hand was on their lives. Right? And so when we see here, let's turn to Genesis. Chapter 33. Amen. God is good, ain't he? Somebody say, he's a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knoweth them that trust in him. Amen. And so what we see here in this word, right? How even Jacob, after he wrestled with the angel. Now we're just going to, listen, we're not going to camp out in any one scripture or in any one place. But we see here how in chapter 32, round about 24 through 27, how Jacob wrestled with the Lord. Right? He wrestled with him because God had to deal with some things in his heart. God had to get through some places in his heart. Amen? But how many know, even after God changed his name, and even after God, he said in verse 25, and when he saw the that he prevailed not against him, he touched him in the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except you bless me. Right? And we know in verse 28 that Israel, for as a prince, thou hast the power with God. His name was changed, no more called Jacob, but Israel. But you know what's fascinating? You think that Jacob would have just changed overnight. Man, I've seen God. I can see the breaking of day, all the joy that floods my soul. But guess what? God was still conforming him. And Jacob was still messing up. Y'all know that? Amen. He was still messing up. And even when we go to chapter 33, we see how Esau came to meet him in verse 4 and embraced him and fell on his neck and they kissed. So hallelujah. Thank God for that restoration. We believe that God changed Esau's heart. Esau was going to kill him. But God changed his heart. Y'all, sometimes we think it's about the enemy, but it's about the enemy. It's enemy. Don't get me wrong. That wasn't the main point of God wrestling with Jacob, the pre-incarnate Christ. But it's to do some things in Jacob. Here you thought it was about somebody else. But he had to change the inner me, inward me, that I can see myself. And I'm telling y'all, I could go to the end of this message right now and shout all over this place. When you see the freedom and the chains and the shackles come off your life, oh, you feel like you could just float away in the sky. Can't nobody do you like Jesus. Can't nobody do you like the Lord. And thank God he didn't leave us a mess to ourselves. But he cleans us up. Set us on a roll call straight. And we see here how in chapter 33, that he kept calling Esau Lord. And this and that. And he said, let me just read a little bit. And verse 8, he said, and said, what meanest thou by all this distrove which I met? And he said, that thou art these to find grace in the sight of the Lord. And Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep thou this unto thyself. And Jacob just instead of just leaving it alone. Sometimes my wife be like, you're doing the most. Amen. Sometimes I say that to her. We say it to each other. But sometimes we're doing the most. And we see here, Jacob was doing the most to win Esau's favor. God had already took care of that. But he was calling him Lord and my servant, calling himself servant. So we still see the insecurity. We see the insecurity. And God has to heal us as a people from insecurity. God has to heal us from trying to get people to accept us. From trying to get people to give us lights. And to try to show everybody, listen, you don't need to put your stuff on Facebook and trying to win the approval of people. Amen. And some of us, we got to be like the world. We got to conform to the world. Why would a preacher go on with wine in his hand? Amen. Or I'm at the club. It's almost like sometimes people want to show, well, man, listen, to gain you, I can be just like you. What? To gain you, I want to show you like this is what I used to do. And so we glorify in what we used to be. Right? We don't win people by putting one foot in the club and one foot in the world. We won't win people by putting provocative posts on our Instagram page. And then we got one foot in the church. Amen. The Bible says a double-minded man is what? Unstable in all his ways. We've got to know who we are in Christ. And in our text, the Bible says, be holy, for I am holy. Because holiness without, no man can see Jesus. Man, I had a grandmother, right, amen. She loved you. But you better be holy around her. Amen. And thank God for Jacob going on and on in our text. And we still see, even in chapter 34, when God had told him to go back, and that's, I believe, in 31, 30, I think it's in chapter 31, right? I have it, and I didn't write it down. But God had told Jacob to go back to his father's house and stop to Bethel on the way. But Jacob disobeyed, right? And he settled down in Canaan. And Jacob, in verse 17 of 33, and Jacob journeyed to Succoth and built an house, made booth for his cattle. And therefore, the name of the place is called Succoth. And Jacob came to Shalem in the city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan. And he came from Padan-Aram and pitched his tent before the city. Thank God somebody on the line reminded us that just like Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah, God never told him to pitch his tent in Canaan. He told him to go to Bethel on the way back, worship and serve me, and then go back to your father's house. But when he stopped here, amen, we see the trouble that brewed, the influence of the town, the influence of the world. And so we talk about spiritual healing. These are other impediments. I'm trying to keep to the text, same time. These are other impediments when he says, lay aside every weight and sin that so easily beset us. Let us run this race with patience and endurance, looking unto Jesus. So here we come in, and the Bible says, be not conformed to this world. This is what was happening. But be what? Transformed. By what? The renewing of your mind. Amen. The renewing of your mind is through the word of God to cleanse the things that have been shaped in. And so we see here in the house of Jacob with Leah and Rachel and the handmaidens and the deceit and the favoritism and the jealousy. And now in 34, incest. Incest. Well, actually, it might be in another chapter when Reuben went in unto one of his wives, his concubines, his wives. I don't want to say side, right? But his wives, right? And so we listen. We see all this. We see the stuff building, right? And then we see in 35. Where although Jacob had this wrestling experience with the angel, and we can see here how that was still taking effect. His conforming to be in the image of what God had called him to be was still taking effect. In other words, God was still working on Jacob. He was still bringing Jacob an end to himself. And so in chapter 35, it says, and God said, well, and I'm sorry, y'all, but in chapter 34, his daughter got raped, Dina, right? And we know the story because of that envy and rage in the sons. Man, them sons went back, two of the sons, and they went and just read 34 again. If you read it in the morning, read it again. You'll see it in there. I ain't got time to stop. But you'll see it in there where the sons of Jacob went back to avenge her blood. And God never told him to do that. And so you see the trickery spirit in them. You see the hate in them. You see the envy in them. Right? Even they tricked the men that were there and the sons and the men, and they said, if you want to marry Dina, you got to be circumcised like us. And so they waited. They tricked them. And when they were circumcised, then they went in by sword and they killed them all because they were weak. Right? So you see, listen, you see the roots. And so when we talk about in Hebrews, talks about the roots. Roots run deep. And the bitterness and the stuff that runs deep. Generational curses don't get better. But generational curses get bitter. Generational curses don't get weaker. But generational curses get stronger. And that's why I could say last week, when we look at our children and be like, where in the world they come from? And all we need to do is look in the mirror to know them children came from you. Amen. And that's why, listen, we see here, amen, in chapter 35 of Genesis, that he says, and God said unto Jacob, arise and go to Bethel. Get out of that land. And there will make, amen, I'm just crazy, like God is still speaking to this man. He's still loving Jacob. He's still forgiving Jacob. Has anybody looked over your life and think of the mess you made? And the fact that God is still speaking to you? What? He's still showing mercies to you? He's still showing grace towards you that you don't deserve? But we thank God for the promise that he gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that his hand will still be on them. And he said, and there an altar unto God and that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau, thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his whole household, all that were with him, put away the strange gods, 35:2, that are among you, and be clean. Change your garments. That means just change. Be renewed. David said, create me a clean heart. And what? Renew in me a right spirit. And then he goes on to say, and let us arise and go up to Bethel. And I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went, and gave unto Jacob all the strange gods. This is what they did. All the strange gods. So we see the generational curse of envy and anger and trickery in these chapters. Right? we see this, and now we see the generational curse of idolatry that was not only picked up in the home, but it was picked up in the land. And so Rachel wasn't the only one that had an idol that she took from her father's house, but they all had idols. And Jacob said, man, give me them. Give it to me. Come on. Get them out your pockets. Get them off your ears. Get them earrings, some Nefertiti heads, and all this other stuff that y'all got. Yeah. Get all these things. And what he said, and verse 4 says, and they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods, and were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them the oath which was by Shechem. Right? And listen, and we got to be careful what we bring in our homes. We've got to be careful of the things that we watch. We've got to be careful of the trance movies and the things that want to go beyond our conscience and put something in our spirits. We've got to be careful of these things. Don't just buy something and you don't even know what it means, and it's out of Africa or Egypt or something like that, and you don't know where it come from, and you're just putting this artifact in your home. Hey, man, I remember somebody gave, Joey was a baby, and somebody gave us a bunch of stuff, right? And I said, man, I pray some things, and some of these toys, they were old toys. Some of them have some symbolism on them, right? There's something we, at work, we call 557. That's the trash file. Man, I took them toys and said, huh, give them to me. Hey, look, man. And the person who gave them to me is some lady. Didn't know the lady, really. Man, she might have had, I don't know, some kind of witchcraft spirit. Y'all act like I don't know. Amen. But we have to have a spirit of discernment. We can't just take anything in our house. We can't just take anybody in our house. We can't just let anybody, any old Bobby, watch our kids. Amen. If the Lord has given you a spirit of uncomfortability about it, guess what? Get in His Word, get on your knees, and let the Lord reveal what's really going on there. Amen. We need to know. The Bible says, be not ignorant of what? Satan's devices. But we've got to try the Spirit, by the Spirit, have discernment. Amen. So here we see here how Jacob took these things and they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them. Amen. And they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. Right? And then it says in verse 9, and God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan-Aram and blessed him. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob, for thou shalt not be called any more Jacob, but Israel. He says it again. And we see the corner that Jacob was turning to be, or Israel, now his name is changed, to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we can go back to our text in Hebrews chapter 12, right? And so we listen, it's deeper than the physical. It's deeper than what these faith heroes went through, but it's spiritual. Amen. And sometimes we can read these books in Genesis and look at Leah and Rachel and Sarah and the favoritism and the idolatry and the idols they had. Right? And guess what? We'll see these things and we can relate with them. Right? How many people can relate with these things in Genesis that are going on and on? I can. Amen. Or in your life. Or in the world. We can relate with some of these things. But guess what, y'all? Christ does not want us to stay there in a place to relate. Man, I'm telling you, and people can relate with what you feel. And people can relate with your pain. And preachers can preach to your pain and relate to what you feel, but never offering a true solution, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. You listen, you got to guard your spirit. You can't just sit under anybody that's trying to sow something into you or a familiar spirit. But you got to know, amen, spiritually we need healing. Spiritually we need deliverance. Amen. And guess what, y'all? Genesis is a blessing, but it showed me, it can show us the things that we've come out of, especially the danger of things when we don't take them to Christ. And y'all know, that's why surface church is so dangerous. Because we can serve on the surface and preach on the surface. So not only is it dangerous to just identify with what they felt without giving it to Christ, but it's danger to keep the Bible study story on the surface and not let Christ get to the root. You got to get to them roots. What we want to do, we want to wee-whack everything on the top. Right? And the roots will continue to grow. The weeds will continue to grow. Because we've never dealt with the root of what it comes from. And I'll be honest, as men, we can all go through something spiritually. Right? Hurts, wounds, and all we say is, well, we got to move on. As Minister Tobin says, as men, we'll say, we got to pull ourselves up. What's the matter with you? Be strong and keep on going. And we never deal with what's really going on the inside. What's even worse is when we don't address our families and sit our children down and let them know. And I thank God, man, we used to get these lectures, man. Me, Tracy, Dana, and Lisa. Boy, they was worse than the whooping itself. Man, my parents would sit us up and they would lecture us to death. And my dad would say, y'all know we messed up. We didn't start out with this, that, and the other. He was honest. And guess what, y'all? We've got to be honest with our children. We've got to be honest with the things that are in our lives that we can repent and confess these things before our children. And thank God for Jacob in that 35 that he said, give me these idols. And I believe he got with his family to let them know. Amen. Listen. And what's even worse, or oh, grandmothers and different people, that there was incest in the home. Right? And we sweep these things under the rug and keep on getting up, never truly submitting these things to Christ. And sometimes we'll think like we can click our heels three times and these things will go away. But not, they never go away. Guess what? They smolder in us. They get cooked in us. We put them out of our conscience, but guess what? It's still there. Amen? That's why we can't run the race. That's why they're, listen, and then we wonder why people are in bondage even in the church. We wonder why people can shout in the church, but there's no true deliverance in their heart. There's no true deliverance on my job. There's no true deliverance, man. And nobody can see Christ in your life. And somebody can say, what do you do at your church? And or somebody, I can go on your job and say, well, he's been a deacon or she's been an usher or whatever. And they'd be like, man, I never saw that. What's Sally Sue you talking about? Because they're seeing no difference. Listen, there must be a change. There must be a difference. I'm not saying everybody got to be like me. But man, check your countenance sometime. Man, Christ ought to affect your countenance. That you can't just sit up and look miserable all the time. And wait for the preacher to stand on his head and do cartwheels down the aisle before you give up and give praise to God. Sometime if the word is speaking to you and you got to say ouch, just say ouch. But say amen. Somebody say amen. 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 And listen. It's time out to stop dealing with stuff on the surface and praying to our money and our stuff. We need to be delivered on the inside. Amen. That's why John 8:30, and Jesus spake these words. As he was speaking to them, there were two types in the crowd. There were those that were against Jesus in John chapter 8. And there were those that was taking heed to the power of the preaching that was coming out of his mouth. In John 8:30, he spoke these words, and the Bible says, and many believed on him by the power of his word. And then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my what? Disciples indeed. 32, John 8:32 says, and you shall know the truth. And it's the truth that sets you free. Amen. And some people only look at freedom as a right. I want my freedom physically. Some people only look at freedom as physical. Some people only look at freedom of their bank account being fat. Or how many degrees? Go to college, get a degree. Amen. But that's not your freedom. Or one day when I'm married, what Mr. Toby says, tall, dark, and handsome. Right? Then I'll be free. Your spouse can't make you free. Amen. He says, those that continue in my word, then you will be my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth. And it's the truth that can set you free. Hallelujah. Man, it's continuing in the word. And what the word has to do, the word has to surface those things from the home that we read about in Jacob's home. Hallelujah. The word's got to surface some things. The word's got to surface that splinter I had, that stayed in my hand. I thought I had it out. And so I can't try to convince myself that that piece of wood was out of my hands. Or whatever it was, it might have been metal. But every time I would hit my hand on something, I would say, ouch. Because something was still there. Something was still there that was cooked into me when I was in that home. That was cooked into me when we were in the world. And guess what? Man, it was like 3 days later, man, my fingers started burning, turning blue and purple and black. And something came to me and said, it's still there. It's still there. And it's the word of God that's quick, sharp, powerful, sharper than any sword, rightly dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. And as an intent, it is a discerning the intent of my heart. It's the word of God that it says in chapter 13 that all things are naked to him that sees it. And guess what? I had to get them tweezers and I had to dig and dig and dig, and the pain hurt. But the pain was for my good. Because as long as I kept digging, I started seeing something. And that thing that was in my hand came out. And when it came out, that's what I said. Somebody might say, well, that's little. I said, thank you, Jesus. I got it out. And later on, guess what? My hand became healed. The blackness went away. The soreness went away. The purple went away. Listen, it's not always about the physical, but sometimes it's about the spiritual. And that's why, listen, don't let your hands hang down. Don't let your knees get weak. Don't hang your head and just be plagued by these things, whatever it is for you. Thank God I know it's personal. Thank God I know when he exposed me to myself. He's not sharing it with anybody else. But it's me, oh Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. Not my mother, not my father, but it's me, oh Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. And that's why, wherefore he says, also, we have this greater cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily beset us. Let us run this race with patience. The race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, who is the author, hallelujah, and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, guess what he did? He endured the cross. Listen, and that's why, let me slow down. That's why there's nothing we can go through that Jesus Christ did not go through. That's why this verse 12 and 1 and 2 is like the conclusionary to chapter 11. You can't find a greater example, a greater witness than Jesus Christ to meet your pain, to meet your burden, to meet your hurt. Dr. Phil can't do it. Ayanna Van Zandt can't do it. Mad Dog 2020 Grape can't do it. Heineken, Budweiser, Wet and Weed can't do it. But when you meet this man, Jesus Christ, and you get in his word to expose you, you get in his word to shape you, man, I'm telling you, those things that are in you will come out. Amen. Who the joy was set before him. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Listen, and not only that, the Bible says, consider him that endured. Amen. Such contradiction of sinners. He endured it, y'all. Listen, and the 2 points I have is really quick. I'm closing out. We're going to be standing in 3 minutes. The first point is we have to allow the word to surface it. Amen. We have to allow this word to surface the things. Listen, and it comes through meditation. And acknowledging confession. Allow the word to surface it, acknowledge it, and confess it. Colossians 3:8 says, but now also put off all these things. Wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. So this anger that it says and this bitterness, these things that are simmering and smoldering, lie not to one another, seeing that they have put off the old man and his deeds, and that you've put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of created him. Number two, we've got to consider Jesus. This is the second point. We've got to consider Jesus. We have to surrender to him. That's not a point. But we got to know he's the great sympathizer. That's why we can say, looking unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him. Listen, not only did, listen, if y'all don't get nothing else, I'm going to be closing. Christ did not just come to die to take us to heaven. And we're saved for real. But we're living defeated lives. Community Baptist Church, stop living defeated lives. When we keep this word on the surface, we're going to live a defeated life. Because the fulfillment of his power is never manifest through my life. But when we look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who the joy was set before him, we were his joy. He endured the cross. Not just to save us and take us to heaven, but that we can live victorious. That we can live in abundance. That we can live in freedom. Man, I need to be free. I can care less about the money in my pocket. I can have lint and 50 cents in my pocket. But man, when you're free for real, I gotta be free. Freedom ain't found in Emancipation Proclamation. Thank God for Martin Luther King and all those black men. Amen. But freedom wasn't found in them. But the only one that can set us free is Jesus Christ. Amen. When he died on that cross. And the Bible says, For was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. So listen, young people, Young girls, young boys, old people, old girls, old boys. You know, mothers, y'all just an old girl. Thinking, man, old boy. Christ felt everything. You notice, it just didn't talk about physically what he went through. But look at spiritually what Christ went through. He despised the shame. That means he endured the shame. He didn't like it, but he took the shame. And he sat down at the right hand of God. For considering him that endured such contradiction of sinners. Guess what? He was abandoned. He was betrayed. He was talked about. He was lied on. And we want somebody else to identify with what we've been through. You have Jesus Christ. He identifies with your hurt, your pain. So not only did he die for my physical pain, but he died for my spiritual pain. And not only did he die for my spiritual pain, he died for my psychological pain. Depression and thoughts and mental illness. Give it to Jesus Christ. Listen. Amen. Listen. Listen, Matthew 27. I had the paper in it. Took it out. Amen. Here it is. Thank you, Jesus. It flipped to it. Amen. When your Bible is worn, amen. I ain't bragging about my Bible. It flipped to it. You've been in it. Maybe some tears is in it. But you'll flip to it. Amen. Listen, Matthew, and I'm going to leave you with this. The soldiers, 27:27, of the governors took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him a band of soldiers. And they stripped him. And they put on him a scarlet robe. And even the night in which he was betrayed in the garden, the Bible says his sweat was as drops of blood. And the anguish, the Bible said, he went a stone throws away. And then he fell on his face and said, oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup. He was God, 100% God. But earlier we see him washing the old crusty feet of the disciples. Stooped, lowered himself, emptied himself. That's why he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. Hebrews said, we have not a high priest that can't be in touch with the feelings of our infirmities. But in all points, he was tempted as were we, yet without sin. They stripped him. They put a scarlet robe on him. And they planted a crown of thorns upon it, his head, and the reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him, and they mocked him. Anybody ever been mocked? Anybody ever been put through shame? Shame and something was, and you were shamed. And guess what? Listen, listen. And Hebrews always teaches us too, that pain, amen, when we experience pain, we need to see the correction of it. Sometimes God allows pain that we might turn and be corrected. That's why the Bible says, consider him unless you be lame and turn out the way that you may be healed. It says that in our text. That's what it's talking about. The root of bitterness, we've got to be healed spiritually. Then it says they mocked him, saying, hail, King of the Jews. Verse 5 says, they spit on him. They took a reed and they smote him on the beard. They took off his robe from him and they put his own raiment on and they led him away to crucify him. And then the Bible says in verse 38, then were the two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left, and they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads. And they said in verse 43, well, he saved other people. He did miracles to other people. Let God save him now. That's what he experienced for us. A man of sorrows. I'm done. We can stand on our feet. a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as if it were our faces from him. Man, I'm telling you, when you're delivered for real, regardless of what you've come in here with, I'm telling you, God is able to meet you in a hurtful place, in a painful place, in a place that you, nobody knows anything else about. And one of my favorite verses, lately it's been one of my favs, F-A-F-F-A-V. Romans 8:28 says, likewise, the Spirit itself, this is Jesus, helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession with groanings, things that are too deep for words. And we beat the devil trying to feel something, trying to fix something within ourselves. You can have all the degrees in the world and see a shrink, but guess what? They can't fix the pain that you have inside. And that's why you see these shows, Hoarders and Fix My Life and all this stuff. They usually bring in a psychiatrist, right? To try to fix them. I'm here to tell you, man, the only one that can fix you is Jesus Christ. Whether you come up this aisle or not, guess what? Get somewhere like Jacob and wrestle with the Lord. And guess what? Nobody else even knows about it. But the Spirit bears witness with groanings and words that can't even be uttered to meet you in that place to deliver you. It's about a spiritual healing. And I thank God for Jesus Christ. And if there's somebody here and you don't know this love of Christ, you can come right now and give your life to him. As the choir sings, there's a song that says, the cross will always represent the love I have, God has for me. If you don't know Christ and you want to get to know him, you can come right now and accept Jesus Christ into your heart. Amen. Is there one? Is there one? He said, behold, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking at the door of your heart. Don't let it be said too late. Is there one? You want to accept Jesus Christ into your heart? You can come. If there's somebody here and you want to be restored,
much more than that,
you can also come for restoration. Amen. Is there one? Is there one that would like to make this your church home? You can also come. Amen. 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 Is there another? Amen. That's it. That's it.
Oh my, upon the cross, my Savior died. The Lamb was crucified.
Those that would like to come around for prayer.
Showed more love than this world has ever known. And oh, love, love divine, so divine.
Those that would like to come around for prayer, you can come too.
and the blood that shed my life, my sins remain. Well, the cross will always represent the love God had for me. When the Lord of glory, heaven sent, he gave all on earth.